Till Death Do Us Part is a lighthearted and sometimes satirical true crime podcast where we present our dysfunctional married take on serious cases involving other dysfunctional relationships. We hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to the second part of episode 113.
I'm Daniel.
Of Till Death Do Us Part.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Melissa. Oh, nothing but professionalism here.
Say Car Ramrod. Say Car Ramrod. Super Troopers, never mind.
Well, welcome back, fellow true crime enthusiastos, aficionados.
I've never heard of that word before.
What did I say?
I cannot believe you're an English teacher.
Not an English teacher.
Damn it.
I just play one on TV.
It would be funny if we started that. I'm like, well, since you're an English teacher, then people would be like, she is the worst English teacher I've ever heard.
Yeah, no. That would just not do good things for all English teachers around the world.
I'm more of an English teacher than you are.
You are. Shut up, homeschool.
Just kidding.
Daniel's feeling better.
I am.
He didn't keep us up all night last night coughing, so I thought, okay, it's the perfect time for us to record episode two. Mm-hmm. I mean, part two.
Yep.
We got it together today, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So you ready? You just want to jump on in?
Yeah.
We are continuing the case of Bobby and Vicky Lozano. Do you have any recollection of what I told you last week?
No.
All right. Well, where I left you in part one was a few months after Vicky Lozano's death. She was found in her bed, shot through the chest, by her detective husband, Bobby Lozano.
Okay.
Ringing a bell? So bringing it back?
Dead in bed, shot through the head.
Dead in bed, shot through the chest.
Damn it.
And
it
remember, Vicky was a wonderful fifth grade teacher. Everybody loved her. They'd been married for 16 years. And they had an 11-month-old son.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the setup. Doesn't make sense.
It was very confusing.
Yes.
Well, Bobby Lozano had been indicted for Vicky's murder, but less than 2 years after the indictment, the charges were dropped against Bobby. A second pathologist from Chicago was hired to look over the autopsy findings from the original pathologist and determined that Vicky's death was more likely a suicide than a homicide. And that was it. The state dropped the case.
So one person came along and they're like, yep, we'll go with that.
Yes.
He's out.
He's done. We're dropping the indictment.
That's weird.
Which left Donna Fielder, who was the author of the book Lady Killer, that I am using as my main source of this case, with lots and lots of questions.
Yeah, I bet we all do.
Now, you see, Donna isn't just an author and a journalist. She is the reason that Bobby was finally brought to justice years after he had murdered his wife. So we need to talk about Donna.
Allegedly.
Right? Allegedly.
They decided he wasn't guilty.
But eventually.
Initially.
Initially, that happened. The indictment was dropped. But not to bury the lead, it does get better.
Oh, good.
Donna Fielder was an investigative and crime reporter for the Denton Record Chronicle. She had taken an active interest in Vicky's death after reading her name on a list of deaths that had occurred just the night before, so the night that Vicky died. Lozano was a common name, but a Lozano living on La Mancha Street in the upscale area of Montesino del Sur subdivision was not. Donna knew that Detective Bobby Lozano lived on that street. She knew Bobby from her times at the police department reporting on various crimes.
Okay.
Donna had even interviewed Bobby on a cold case story that she was working on.
Prior, obviously, in the past.
Right, prior to the death of Vicky. After calling her contact at the station, Donna was told that Vicky was Bobby's wife. Donna was told that they did not know what happened yet, and her death could have been a gun cleaning accident or a suicide. Donna asked if Bobby had been involved, and she was told that they were waiting on the autopsy results, but but that they didn't know. They didn't know whether Bobby was involved or not.
Okay.
Her contact wouldn't tell her more, but said the police report would be out the next day. So the next morning, Donna received the report, and there was very little information given. It was just the basics. Her contact said that word had come from the top, and until the case was resolved, there would be no information released beyond the original report. So Donna would not be privy to the gut feelings, gossip, and background information from the detectives that usually came her way.
Okay.
Her report or her story was stalled because she couldn't get anything out of anyone.
It kind of got to a stalemate.
Right, like because she was dealing with a detective's wife's death.
Yeah.
So you protect your own, right?
I would say, yeah, people are going to lean towards giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. So the police were keeping this investigation very close to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
So Donna had to hold off writing the story. And a few weeks after Vicky's death, Donna was given more information, but she was still not able to write the article. Unless police obtained a warrant or formally identified someone as a quote-unquote person of interest, the paper did not print that person's name. It was the policy, and she had to follow protocol.
Yep.
Detective Bobby Lozano was a suspect in the death of his wife, but would not be arrested just yet. But the case would be taken to the grand jury. If Bobby was indicted, then Donna had her story.
Gotcha, because then it's public record and everything is official.
Exactly.
Okay.
Donna was able to write a piece about Bobby and Cindy. Remember Cindy?
Mm-hmm.
The mistress?
Yep.
Both resigning from the police department and that those in charge were not talking about it. So she was able to write a little tiny little blip of a story.
Okay.
But it just concerned Bobby and Cindy both resigning at the same time from the Denton Police Department.
Well, I can see how this is going to cast a negative light on a department. So they're going to naturally kind of not want things to get out.
Yes.
Information. I mean, it's going to be negatively viewed, anything like that, especially law enforcement. I mean, they're going to have a tough time anyway. So when one of their own becomes a potential criminal, then that's tough to recover from.
And it took them a long time to recover from what had happened.
I bet.
Now, Donna had heard rumors that the two of them, Bobby and Cindy, had been having an affair. But like she said, those were just rumors. So this was even before Vicky's death. She had heard rumors about the affair.
And it's not illegal to have an affair.
It's not. And just because you've had an affair does not make you a murderer.
Nope.
But we all know the truth, don't we? They were having an affair.
Sure.
I said that in part one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, there was obvious. Yeah.
On July 24th, 2004, Donna received a fax at the newspaper telling her that the district attorney's office was dropping the charges against Bobby. Now, Donna was confused by the press release, so she drove to the courthouse and received a copy of the affidavit for the motion to dismiss. In the affidavit, Donna discovered that the original medical examiner, a Dr. Gary Sisler, who had performed the autopsy on Vicky, now favors suicide as the manner of death, as opposed to undetermined, which is what he had written first.
I wonder what changed his mind.
Well, the state also consulted with the chief medical examiner for Cook County in Illinois. Now, they're in Texas, and they're going to another medical examiner in Illinois. Which just doesn't make sense.
You're telling me they don't have a medical examiner that's capable of this kind of determination in the great state of Texas?
They do, but why did they go to Chicago for
right.
it?
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, and that's a question that will never be answered. It's the weirdest thing, you guys.
It's almost like someone shopped it to this person, but why and how and who was trying to get a favorable ruling or determination?
That's the question from a lot of people's mouths.
Although anyone in the department, especially upper leadership of the department, I don't know what the proper term is. it's going to make them look bad no matter what.
And it did.
So unfortunately, they're going to be predisposed to looking for rulings that are going to favor their image. But I mean, I don't really blame them, but...
So this guy was hired to review the evidence in the case. This unnamed medical examiner concluded that the death was a result of suicide as opposed to undetermined or homicide or accidental.
Huh. I wonder how much he got paid.
So this specific medical examiner from Illinois was never named in the affidavit.
Then how do they use that as a basis for dismissing a case?
This is crazy. So Donna was shocked. She had never read anything like this before, and she'd been a crime reporter for many years. She immediately contacted the Tarrant County Medical Examiner, Sisler, for a written statement on the dismissal. So this was the original guy who did the autopsy. What he wrote back to Donna suggested that not only had he not changed his mind about Vicky's manner of death, he never had changed the official manner of death result. So that affidavit was a lie.
Oh, someone faked it.
Someone faked it.
No.
He had never changed his position. He had never changed her manner of death.
How do you fake an affidavit?
It was a real affidavit, but he had never been contacted. He had never changed anything. So he had no idea what Donna was talking about. So he was pissed.
So there's a grand conspiracy. Hold on. Where's my conspiracy theories book? All right.
So he told people that he had planned to file a grievance against the district attorney, but politics eventually intervened and he did not.
Ooh.
So Donna was able to get in contact with the medical examiner from Cook County in Chicago, so in Illinois. And it was a Dr. Edmund Donahue. So now we have his name. She questioned him about his findings, and he was really vague on the phone and would not tell Donna what the overlooked evidence was. Because in the affidavit, it said that it was based on overlooked evidence, but he refused to tell her what that was. And when Donna called over to the Denton police station for a quote, the lieutenant who was in charge was taken by surprise. No one from the DA's office had notified them before sending out the press release that their murder case had now been dismissed. And there were so many questions left unanswered. All the questions that you guys have in your heads right now are questions that I have that have never fully been answered.
So it wasn't even on the part of the Denton Police Department to try and shop this around to get the charges dropped.
No, it was all the district attorney at the time in Denton County. And I'm not about to throw that person's name out there. It's very easy to find.
Someone was running for office.
Donna would spend years trying to find out the truth, vowing to remember Vicky's life and her death. So she took this on as her cause.
So there's some corruption going on.
You think?
Just a little bit.
The case against Bobby Lozano was officially dead. He would not be tried for the death of his wife, Vicky. Bobby continued living in the large estate with his son, his mother-in-law, Anna, and eventually Cindy Waters. Late one night, a few weeks after Vicky was murdered, Bobby showed up at Cindy's front door. She let him in. Bobby told Cindy that he wanted to continue their relationship because he was in love with her. He convinced Cindy to meet with his lawyer. The lawyer would explain everything and answer all Cindy's questions and concerns. So she went. Cindy was now convinced that Bobby was a victim of a vindictive plot against him. His former colleagues were trying to convict him of a crime that he did not commit. Everything Cindy was told was a lie. Everything told to her by Bobby and his lawyer was a lie. They even told her that Anna had gone to the police and signed an affidavit that said that an L-shaped bruise found on Vicky's forehead between her eyes at the autopsy had been caused by Vicky stumbling and hitting her forehead on a coffee table. Now, that was a lie. Anna had never signed any such affidavit at the police station. Plus, the bruise found did not show up until after Vicky had been taken to the coroner's office. It was that fresh. Cindy believed every piece of bullcrap coming out of these two men's mouths.
She wanted to believe.
They rekindled their relationship soon after the meeting. God. Bobby tells Cindy that she was now his son's mother.
What?
Mm-hmm. And when Cindy would bring up Vicky, Bobby would start to cry and tell her that if it weren't for them and the affair, Vicky would still be alive today. What a piece of crap this Bobby is.
Wow.
Alluding to Vicky having killed herself because of the affair.
So she was so distraught, she had to kill herself.
Yes, and Cindy was part of the reason that Vicky took her own life.
Sure.
How horrible for Cindy to be walking around believing that. Now, Cindy is not an innocent person in all of this. She did have an affair with a married man. But we are talking about Bobby Lozano, who was able to manipulate women as easily as it is to take a drink of water.
He was very skilled in the discovering of women that unfortunately would be weak to his type of personality.
And would believe everything that he
absolutely
said.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
The couple started a mortgage broker business together.
Of course they did.
Cindy doing most of the work and Bobby just kind of played.
Mm-hmm.
When the indictment was dropped, Cindy felt justified and accepted an engagement ring from Bobby. Ugh. And the two began building a house together. They argued over overspending on the house.
I was just going to say.
Because Bobby had very expensive taste. I read that the front door was over $5,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, there is a statistical, I don't know, I don't have it in front of me, but building houses together as a couple can break marriages and or prevent marriages from starting. Because a lot of people are like, we have to have the perfect house before we get married. And then they're like, the house is finally done or half done. And they're like ready to kill each other. Because just for that very reason, you can't even decide what the door should look like.
No, we could barely pick backsplash. Stop. You have to stop clearing your throat when I'm talking. We could barely pick backsplash at one point when we were just adding it to an already built house.
Yeah, it was seriously a foot tall because I measured it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we can put like a backsplash. It was pre-made marble on the grid that you then grout, for those of you wondering. And it looked great. And then you're like, I don't know, I like this one. Or I like this one. Home Depot special. And it wasn't even that much. I think it was like $10 a square foot or something like that. So we're not talking a lot of money.
Right. But then I wanted something else. And then I actually ended up liking what you picked or something like
that. No. I think we bought one of each and laid it up there. And you're like, damn it.
Yours
does
right.
Look better. I'm like, told you. Yay. And then I gloated. No, I didn't gloat over it. But
well, once Bobby put that ring on Cindy's finger, he began to change.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't around much anymore. And Bobby was not the overly romantic and loving partner that he had once been.
Did he find a new girlfriend?
He would even leave the young son with Cindy and take off for hours and hours. It finally dawned on Cindy that she was now the babysitter, the new Vicky.
Sucker.
He was romancing someone else.
No.
And Cindy was the one at home. Bobby had to have a wife to take care of him and his home while he ran around town with a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Madonna and the whore.
Goodness.
Not that the women he was with were whores. That's just the saying.
Oh, I didn't.
Like,
I've
you
never
have
heard
the
that.
Madonna and the whore.
Who's Madonna?
The Madonna, like,
not
biblical.
Oh, okay. Not Madonna.
No, not Madonna singer. The singer.
Okay.
No, the biblical version of the Madonna, someone at home taking care of your kids, taking care of you, like, you know, the perfect innocent woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the whore on the side. Not that every mistress is a whore. Don't come at me.
I'm glad you're saying all this because if I said it, they're like, Daniel's a sexist pig.
Daniel's a misogynist.
I couldn't possibly back out of that.
No, you couldn't. I can.
He said horror.
But I'm speaking in, there's a term It's an actual term. Okay. All right. I might cut that out. You never know.
I think for more modern terms, we should call it the Donna instead of Madonna.
The Donna and the whore?
Donna and the whore. Because Donna would be like the mom at home so while he goes and runs off with someone else. Because no one has a Madonna at home anymore.
That's not true.
Who's named Madonna?
No, no one's named Madonna. That's what I'm saying. Donna like, sounds it's more. It's within the Catholic religion.
Oh.
The Madonna.
Sorry, I don't know.
I know. We're not Catholic. I'm sorry, guys.
Catholics are screaming at us right now.
I know. I'm really sorry.
Butchering it.
I am. All right. Where was I?
I don't know.
Well, Cindy was now the wife.
Gotcha.
One evening, the couple left separately from the house project, and Cindy had all three boys with her. She had Bobby's young son and then her two young sons. Bobby was supposed to follow her home, but he did not.
He got lost.
And for hours, she did not know where he was. Bobby finally called her and told her that he was at his house.
Oh, they're still, that's right, because their dream home they're building together isn't done.
Right, but they're living in two separate houses.
Where the hell are they getting all this money from? They have three different households, potentially.
They're mortgage brokers.
So? Oh, what year is this?
2004.
Oh, no wonder.
Why?
Oh, that was almost the height of the real estate craze, especially in Texas, California, Arizona. I mean, you could not sell homes fast enough and they were appreciating. Oh. I mean, like 20% every quarter.
Okay. I did find out how much the house was built for.
Okay.
The big old house that he built with the in-laws. It was $500,000 house.
Back then?
Back then.
Yeah.
In 1997.
That's quite a house in 97.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's before there was quite a huge run-up in real estate. So 97, that's going to be massive, especially in Texas.
It was gigantic with pillars and inside. It's crazy. Oh, yeah. I saw pictures on the inside. All right, here we go. Bobby and Vicky's son was very upset. So Bobby drove over to Cindy's house to get him. Cindy asked Bobby where he had been, and he said, "Don't you ever question me. You have no idea what I'm capable of." And then left her home. That's scary.
Real quick. Are they officially married at this point?
No, they're just engaged. They're engaged in building a house.
Run!
And at that time, they lived in two separate residences.
Run away.
From this day forward, Cindy says that she was afraid of Bobby. No. Cindy begged him to go to couples counseling and he refused. They would fight. Then she wouldn't hear from Bobby for days after. He would then threaten to kill himself, tell her he had a gun in his mouth, and then hang up. So she'd leave frantic messages and he wouldn't call her back. Cindy finally threatened to call the police, and then he called her back, saying he just needed alone time. Yeah, he needed alone time with another chick he was banging. What?
If he called and said, "I got a gun in my mouth," she should have been like, "Please pull the trigger."
No.
Do it.
No.
Let me make sure it happens.
Daniel. One day, Cindy knew that his alone time involved another woman. And so Cindy eventually gave the ring back. She called off the engagement.
Oh, thank God.
And one day, Cindy found a package on her desk at the mortgage company. Inside were copies of the district attorney's case file on the death of Vicky. She never learned who sent those files to her. Nobody knows who sent the files.
And I'm assuming that would then tell her, "Hey, you're deadbeat, piece of crap." Sorry, I'm trying to think of words I could use instead of the words I want to use. Well, you know what to do. You fill them in. Anyway, probably, definitely, most likely murdered Vicky.
Well, in these files, she found out that things were very different than from what Bobby had told her. Bobby told her that he had pulled Vicky's body onto the floor and performed CPR. Cindy now learned that he had never moved Vicky's body and that he was completely spotless when paramedics arrived. There was no blood on him whatsoever.
Yep.
She also learned that Anna had refused to cooperate with the investigation and that she had never signed an affidavit that the bruise on Vicky's forehead was caused by a fall before the night of her death, and that Anna believed that Bobby was innocent and that the Denton Police Department was trying to frame her son-in-law. So she learned that Anna was on Bobby's side. Obviously, I mean, that seems kind of obvious. This is all it took for Cindy to be certain that Bobby had killed Vicky. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden the light bulb went ding. Believing that Bobby had tried to frame her for Vicky's murder, having her use his service weapon at the gun range a week before Vicky's death.
Wow.
Cindy packed up her life and her boys and moved to Tennessee right after.
Oh my gosh. Finally, somebody is smart in one of these cases. Because usually it's like, oh, run! And then you tell me, and she didn't leave or, you know, whatever.
I think women are getting smarter.
Good.
I mean, I think women are realizing how strong and independent they can be. And they really don't need a man around.
You don't need
as
us.
Much.
Yeah, you don't need us. Screw men.
No, but I'm serious. I think women are starting, or over the last decade, have realized that they don't need a piece of crap to take care of them. They could actually do this themselves and be a better version of themselves and then, you know, hopefully meet somebody really awesome.
Can I help make a statement?
What?
Women absolutely can do so much better, and women determine what men should be. Because if women did not put up with pieces of crap, it would force men to better themselves. So I feel like a lot of women feel this, have this desperation to find some dude, regardless. So they settle for horrible guys, and they don't need to. You're right. They absolutely don't need them.
No.
You would be better off alone.
As opposed to somebody like Bobby.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
agreed.
Unfortunately, they probably have insecure, just feel like they couldn't do any better. You'd be better off alone than most of these guys like that. It's just sad in society that women feel like they should be abused or that's normal. They should just take it. Something like a Bobby.
I think it's been changing.
I do too.
And it's really cool to see.
There's a pendulum, right? We talk about that. The pendulum swings back and forth and everything. So hopefully it centers somewhere in something healthy.
Yeah.
It's sad, though.
It really
is.
For
me, hearing that, because I'm like, oh, my God. Don't give this piece of crap a second of your life.
Mm-mm-mm. And he
only gets away with it because women allow him to get away with it.
At that time.
At that time, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, in the summer of 2008, 6 years after Vicky's death, Donna started asking questions again, Donna Fielder. And after jumping through some hoops, she was able to get her hands on the case file, which was huge. Most of the people involved in the case were gone, having moved on to different positions or having left the police department or not being the DA anymore, thank goodness. It was the statements given by Bobby's former girlfriends that gave Donna the insight she needed because they were all so similar. He wanted a thin woman with blonde hair, pliable, someone who he could mold into whatever he wanted, someone who would consider him a god. Bobby wooed them, spending money on them, buying jewelry and clothes that he liked, paying for salon appointments, telling the hairdresser that he wanted them to be a honey blonde, which is what Vicky was.
Wow.
He was good in bed and gave promises that he could never keep, but that they kept believing. The girlfriends would either grow tired of waiting for him to leave his wife, or they would gain weight, causing Bobby to lose interest and then move on.
That's interesting.
Donna was able to get the full autopsy report, and it showed that Vicky had bruises on her arms and legs. Some were so fresh, they didn't show up until after her body was at the coroner's, like the one on her forehead, which happened to match the shape of the butt of a Glock pistol.
So she was pistol whipped, essentially. Hit with the pistol.
Is what?
In addition to being shot with the pistol.
Is what?
Potentially.
Is being alluded to.
Gotcha.
So was there a struggle ending with a blow to her head and being shot while Vicky laid unconscious on her left side?
So how the hell could a medical examiner determine it was an accident and it was suicide? Or meaning it was a murder. It was self-inflicted.
That's a great question.
Did she beat herself with the pistol and then somehow shoot herself in the chest?
I did read that the medical examiner in Chicago thought that it was the recoil. It could have possibly been the recoil from her shooting herself.
Nope.
But shooting herself, the butt of the gun would have been pointed away from her, not towards her. Because it was a 45-degree angle and she's laying on her left side. I know.
No way.
I know. If Vicky had shot the gun herself, why was there no gun oil on her hands or her pajamas?
Because the gun was all oily.
It was all oily. Where was the popcorn bowl? Remember, she had popcorn in her stomach and in her mouth and in her pajamas and actually under her body. And it was believed that Vicky had actually been laying on her left side when the bullet entered her chest. That's why the bullet exited her side and stayed loose in her pajama top.
Hmm.
So she had been shot at a 45-degree angle while she laid on her left side. And then the bullet went through her chest, came out her side, hit the mattress, but didn't actually go through the mattress and stayed inside her pajama top.
Wow.
So why was the case dropped against Bobby?
Because his lawyer had friends.
And this was Donna's question. Why was this case dropped? This obviously wasn't an accident and this wasn't a suicide. Before Donna's article was published, because now she was able to publish the article because she got the case file and everything, she wanted to talk to Anna. She wanted to talk to Vicky's mother, who was still living with Bobby.
Oh, God. Why?
Well, she was not only living with Bobby, she was now living with Bobby's new girlfriend, who had three children herself, plus Vicky's son.
Oh.
I know.
There's no shortage of them?
I guess there's not. So Donna called the home and Anna answered. Donna told her who she was and what she was going to be doing. Anna told Donna that she was not going to write a story about her daughter's death. Forbid her to write a story about her daughter.
Oh my gosh.
Donna told her she was and that she did not want Anna to be blindsided. So it was almost like a courtesy call.
Right.
Anna once again told Donna that she was not to write the story and that Donna was way out of line bringing it up again, which to Donna felt like such a strange reaction from the mother of a victim.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't this mother want to know exactly what happened to her daughter? And Anna didn't. She already had it in her head that it was either an accident or a suicide. There was no way that Bobby could have murdered her.
Okay. Is it just me or is it very bizarre that the mother of the wife who committed suicide still lives in the house with him after all of these things have happened and multiple women have come through and now there's a new woman with different kids? Wouldn't it just be so bizarre? She's like, you know what? This is just too awkward. I got to move out.
And Bobby and his new girlfriend, her name was Renee, were living in the same room that Vicky was killed in.
Yeah, that's not bizarre to the mother of Vicky? That's not awkward?
I don't know. It's so weird to me because it wasn't just Anna. It was most of Vicky's family believed that Bobby had nothing to do with her murder.
Why would they side with him?
It's weird
to me. To me, I'd want to be in denial that my daughter committed suicide. Be like, nope. You're going to want to believe, wouldn't you want to believe something positive? So it's almost like they want to believe the worst possible outcome, which is, well, maybe not. Because if the alternative to suicide is really murder. So maybe for them, it's too hard to believe.
But I just look at Vicky, and she was just such a wonderful mom and teacher and just a wonderful human. And then her family is wanting to believe the worst in her after her death. I don't get that. I feel like that says a lot about how she grew up.
I was going to say, it tells you a lot. It tells you that she had a very unhealthy family.
Yeah. And her mom just kept saying, Bobby saved her. Bobby saved her from herself. I'll get more into that. It just makes me sick, actually.
Yeah.
Well, 30 minutes after Donna talked to Anna on the phone, Bobby's new girlfriend, Renee, called her, asking Donna not to write the story because it would harm Vicky's 6-year-old son to bring it up again. It wouldn't be good for him.
You know what I would say to that?
What?
So you know what would have been really good for him? If his dad didn't murder his mom, you tramp.
Stop.
What? I'm just saying. Like,
it's not Renee's fault.
Okay, but she also is so desperate.
No. She was lied to as well. I'm about to tell you.
Okay, but she had no idea any of this stuff happened. She wanted to believe whatever Bobby told her.
Renee told Donna that Bobby had already been tried and found not guilty in the murder of his first wife. Donna's like, no, the case never went to trial and he was never found not guilty.
Oh my gosh.
So he's lying to everybody, and his attorney, I'm sure, lied to Renee also. Everything that comes out of Bobby's mouth is a lie when it comes to Vicky and his relationships. And everybody eats it up.
Because they want to believe.
Ugh. Well, Renee did not sound like she believed Donna and hung up the phone.
There you go. I told you. See?
I know, but this is what Renee's getting all of her information from, people who are trying to paint Bobby in this positive light and Vicky in a negative light.
But she has to believe, because otherwise she has to admit she made a huge mistake and is now living in this house with this guy with her 3 kids. So she's already invested and she doesn't want to admit she made a mistake.
Well, and she's sleeping in the same room.
And she's sleeping
where
in the same
died.
Room.
On Sunday, September 7th, 2008, Donna's investigative story ran in the paper. The piece ran for days as the top story on the Denton Record Chronicle website.
Awesome.
The Dallas Morning News website linked it on their site, and it just blew up. It blew up all over Texas. People hated Bobby immediately.
I hope it gave Bobby irritable bowel syndrome every day there forward.
Oh, he was just crapping everywhere, I'm sure.
He had to have been beside himself because he's such a narcissist.
Because of Donna's article on September 25th, so only, 19 days after the story ran, Bobby had been indicted again by a grand jury for the murder of his wife of 16 years, Vicky Lozano.
Wow.
Yeah, a little over 2 weeks later, he's indicted again. And after looking over the case, it was decided that the husband and wife team, Carrie and Susan Peel, from the district attorney's office, would be trying the case.
Ooh.
They felt like there was enough evidence to put Bobby Lozano behind bars for the remainder of his life. Even though it was more circumstantial evidence, they really felt like they had something. One of the major discoveries made by the Peels was that the gun casing was actually under the newspaper and the wooden gun cleaning box. Each piece of the evidence on that bed had been moved to the foot of the bed before it was logged into the evidence log. Now, they don't do that anymore.
Well, that's good.
Now you photograph it and you log it in the order that you find it, not... You don't move it to the foot of the bed.
Okay.
Or you don't move it away from where you found it. When they did find the shell casing in the folds of the blanket on the bed, it did not occur to the investigators at that time that the newspaper and then the box had been placed on top of the casing that was hidden by the fold of the coverlet.
Okay.
Meaning Vicky had been shot, that casing had blown out of the would you say blown out of the gun?
It was ejected.
Ejected. That's the word. Ejected mm-hmm. out of the gun, fallen on the coverlet. Bobby, we're just assuming Bobby did it, can't find that casing, but he has to stage the scene. Mm-hmm. So then he puts the newspaper down, which goes over the casing and the wooden gun cleaning box.
Right. So the scene was staged.
The scene is the was bottom staged. Yeah, that's the major yep. piece of evidence is this scene was staged. The casing could not have gotten under that box on its own. And so this was the state's smoking gun, is what the Peels believed.
Wow.
Now, the crime scene team should have caught that immediately, but now new protocols have been put into place. So hopefully that won't happen again. It just wasn't documented the way it should have been documented. But they were also documenting a crime scene where one of their investigators and detectives, it was his house.
Yeah.
So they're doing it as politely, quote unquote, politely as they could, really not to piss off Bobby, is what it mm-hmm. sounded like to me.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecutors were sure they could prove that the casing was under the newspaper and box to the jury because of the photographs of the blood pattern on the coverlet that were under the newspaper as well. There was blood under that newspaper. The blanket fold that the casing was hidden by lines up with the blood pattern. So you can tell that that casing was underneath there because of the way that the blood pattern is on that cover.
Gotcha.
Okay. Vicky was dead as soon as the bullet passed through her. She did not move the casing under the newspaper, nor could it have rolled underneath on its own. So what they're saying, like we've said, is Bobby staged the scene.
The other thing is he's going to be an expert. Because he's in law enforcement, he knows how to make a kill shot. Yeah. If you're committing suicide, I mean, I guess you could know exactly where to aim, but that would be tough.
But not laying on your side, shooting yourself in the chest 3 to 6 inches away. There's too many things that could happen.
And obviously, if there's two shots, it's not going to be suicide.
Right.
So it had to be the correct shot to instantly pierce the heart, mm-hmm. and it's over.
Bobby's defense team argued for a change of venue, saying that Bobby could not receive a fair trial in Denton County. It was said that the newspaper article had convicted Bobby in the public eye and was bragging about its influence, and that influence went against his client. The judge did not agree to move the trial venue.
Good. Nope.
It's going to stay in Denton.
Yep.
It was known rather quickly that very few of the prospective jurors had ever heard of Bobby Lozano.
Yeah, because a lot of time had gone by.
Not since the article.
Yeah.
A lot of people that they interviewed to be on that jury were like, I have no idea what you're talking about, which is good. On July 21st, 2009, the jury was chosen. 11 women and 2 men.
Oh.
The judge then asked Bobby, how do you plead? Ladies and gentlemen, I am not guilty, announced Bobby.
Sure.
The trial began that same day. Bobby's new wife.
What?
Renee.
What?
Was in the courtroom every day holding a very large Bible. Yeah. They had gotten married 2 weeks before the trial began.
So almost like a prop Bible.
Yes.
To make it look, yeah. Mm-hmm. To try and sway the hearts.
Yeah. It was ridiculously large.
Absolutely. Prop Bible.
It was mm-hmm. a prop. Yeah. Now, Anna never came to the courthouse until the day that she testified, but we'll get into that. Bobby didn't want her there, and she didn't want to be there. But I think it's because he was trying to hide everything from Vicky's family. So they didn't come to the trial. Ugh, so wild.
Why not?
I don't know. Now, the state was set to prove that Bobby had murdered Vicky in a state of anger. That he had been thinking of murdering Vicky for some time, but that he had not planned on shooting her till that night. That was almost like a crime of passion.
Mm-hmm.
It was a premeditated, but that at that time it was a crime of passion. Vicky had been eating popcorn in bed when she was shot. So Bobby cleaned up the scene and moved the popcorn bowl out of the room. He tried to pick up all the pieces, but wasn't able to find them all. Bobby then staged the scene to look like a gun cleaning accident. He pulled back the covers, causing a mirror image bloodstain on the top coverlet. He put the newspaper on top of the pulled back blanket near Vicky's hand, sprayed the Glock with gun oil, and it dripped onto the newspaper. Then laid out the wooden box, forgetting to look for the gun casing or not being able to find the gun casing. So when I talk about mirror image, when it comes to the blood, it's when there was blood on the coverlet and then he pulled back the coverlet, which then the blood got onto part of the coverlet that was further down.
An imprint.
It was an imprint. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Bobby shot her, the bullet casing ejected from the pistol and landed in the folds of the covers. And then he pulled the cover over. I mean, I've been over this a million times. I just want you guys to picture it in your head. The jury was told about the girlfriends during the course of his marriage to Vicky and that Bobby had lied to his wife and mother-in-law about where he was almost every single night. They believed that he was some sort of ninja on secret missions. And that he told the women that he was having affairs with lie after lie about his wife, and that each and every one of them believed he was leaving Vicky for them. And remember, he also told one that Vicky was dying from leukemia.
If I were on the jury, as soon as I hear that, I'm like, I don't care what happens. He's guilty.
They could tell immediately that these jury members despised him.
Yeah.
They could just see it in their faces during the opening statements.
Yeah. If looks could kill, the jury blasted him.
Absolutely. Bobby had a $300,000 life insurance policy on Vicky. And a few months before her death, he had talked her into another policy valued at $1 million.
Sure.
The jury was also promised that they would see and read the statement Bobby wrote a couple days after Vicky's death. Remember that huge statement that I read to you?
Mm-hmm.
They got to see it and they got to read it.
Ugh, if they didn't hate him before. Oh my gosh.
The defense told the jury that Vicky's death was undetermined, that you cannot say for certain if her death was a suicide, homicide, or accident, that Vicky and her mother Anna both knew that Bobby was unfaithful, but Vicky and Anna loved Bobby anyway. I feel like Anna was another girlfriend. Like, like an Anna was another girlfriend. Wife. Yeah.
It sounded like she hated her daughter. I know. That does happen. And I bet she was probably jealous of what her daughter had become and resented her for whatever reason. It sounds like there was a very unhealthy relationship there.
I do believe that my mother likes you more than me.
I don't think that's true.
No, because remember right before we got married, she said, if you and Daniel ever break up, it's your fault.
She did say that.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man.
Okay. I love you, Mom.
All right.
But
so there
I do
you
know
go.
That you like Daniel more than me, but so that's okay. So there you go. Okay. Well, during the anniversary dinner the night before Vicky's death, okay, this is the defense talking, right, during their opening statements. They said that Vicky had a renewed sense of hope for the marriage. Now, how did they know that? How would they have known that over them having dinner? It just doesn't make sense. But it didn't last long, especially when Bobby told her later that evening that he had to go into the office, which was code word for I'm going to get laid.
By somebody else.
By somebody else. Yep. The defense attorney said that Bobby was in love with Vicky and Cindy and wanted them both, but that Cindy began putting pressure on Bobby to leave his marriage. The defense straddled the line between Vicky committed suicide and that it was an accidental discharge. It was anything other than murder. Anything other than Bobby murdered her, blaming a majority of Bobby's persecution on sloppy police work. Ooh. Two of the five women who gave statements about their affairs with Bobby took the stand for the state, one being Cindy. She told them everything from their meeting and the affair to Vicky's pregnancy and her eventual murder, and then down to their final breakup. And Bobby was just a slime ball. He really was.
Of course.
I mean, he treated Vicky horribly and he treated Cindy horribly and all those other women. So, ugh, God, I hate this guy. I just want to punch him in the penis.
I think that's happened.
Probably.
By now, I'm assuming he's been punched in other areas too.
Cindy ended her testimony by saying that she felt a lot of guilt because she was made to believe by Bobby that Vicky had found out about their relationship, and that was the reason that Vicky killed herself. Ugh.
Goodness.
Prosecutors questioned some of the first responders about what they were expecting to find when they pulled up to the home and how surprised they were by what they found. A perfectly clean Bobby and a victim who had been dead for a while. I finally saw crime scene photos. I'm not a professional. And looking at Vicky, you could see that she'd been dead for a long time. The lividity crawling up her leg. And she just had that like waxy kind of, she just looked waxy.
You had mentioned, I don't know, maybe I'm mistaken. Didn't you mention that there were fresh vacuum marks on the carpet?
Yeah, he had steam cleaned the carpet.
Steam clean.
There was a bucket of pink water by the front door. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. If you are cleaning carpet, you don't use anything that's colored.
No.
It's going to be clear. And anything that comes out of carpet other than bottled ketchup or blood is not going to be pink. Right?
No.
I mean.
I know. Vicky was cold, and they believe that she had been dead for longer than just an hour. Mm-hmm. Many police officers and investigators were also asked to testify. And turns out that Bobby was never assigned to any task force associated with the DEA. And Bobby may have been called out on SWAT team every few months, but never on a regular basis or on a holiday. Now, those were the lies that he was telling Vicky and Anna on a regular basis for where he was going. That gave him an alibi for where he was going.
And to maintain this persona that he's an exciting guy.
Yes.
You see, he's trying to portray himself as someone who's exciting, which women are like, ooh, it's like a turn on. Like, he's exciting. He's mysterious. He's 007, right?
He's good at his job. Yeah, he's so good that he goes out every night to work with the DEA and the SWAT team. But why wasn't he bringing home more money?
It's like it's like a bad romantic novel.
Yes.
That women read because men don't read. They only look at pictures. That's what women would want to believe. So he portrays that. He's like, I'm an exciting man of mystery who's good in bed. Right? It checks all the boxes.
Absolutely.
So women are like, ooh, girl porn. Unfortunately, most of those guys don't exist. Sorry.
Well, one of the investigators on the Denton Police Department, who was now chief deputy, was asked on the stand what a shored gunshot wound meant. Because remember, they were saying her gunshot wound was shored. The exit wound was shored. He said that with that wound, the bullet passes through the soft tissue and stops against something firm. Since the wound was shored, it meant that Vicky was not shot in the sitting position. Bobby said that he had found her. She was actually shot while lying on her left side. Because if she had been shot sitting up, it probably would have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And through the pillow that she was sitting against because it was soft. But because she was lying on her left side and it had hit the mattress, which was hard, it made that soft tissue kind of turn out and then stop the bullet from going through the mattress.
Gotcha. So if there was just air on the other side,
it would have gone
through.
There's
more. Yeah. It would have been.
And it would have been a cleaner wound.
Yeah.
So sad, you guys. Oh, okay. We're almost done. A post-mortem photograph of Vicky's forehead bruise was blown up to actual size, and the butt of a Glock pistol matched the bruise perfectly. They held it up over the picture, and you could see how it matched.
And then you pan the camera over to the jurors, and all the ones that snuck in swords were sharpening them, ready to do a public beheading right on the spot.
Oh, gosh. It's so sad.
Could you imagine a mostly female jury?
It was all female, basically.
And you just, in my fantasy movie, someone casually walks up with a bunch of blades and just starts handing them out to people. And they're like, okay, we're going to continue to show evidence here. And you guys do what you want to do. You'd pan back over and they're just sharpening him.
It's like Caesar.
Oh, God.
It's like how Caesar could you imagine? Was killed.
Yeah. And they're like, uh-huh, keep going. Uh-huh.
And they're too, sitting- Brute. Or Brutus, right? Wasn't that this friend? Mm-hmm. Anyways, the blood smudge under the gun oil can was Vicky's blood. So how did her blood get under the gun can? Mm-hmm. I mean, the oil can.
The oil can, right.
There was no blood found on any part of Bobby's clothing that he was wearing when paramedics and law enforcement arrived on the scene. There wasn't any gunshot residue either. So he had changed. But what did he do with the clothing that he was wearing when he shot her? Well, they really didn't look anywhere in that house to find bloody clothing. And he had left the house to go to the tanning salon, which was true because the manager of the tanning salon remembers having a conversation with Bobby. So he could have thrown those clothes away in some sort of dumpster or trash can and on his way to or from the tanning salon.
And we all know that she'd been dead much longer than what he said.
Yes.
So he could have killed her, cleaned up, changed, then gone to the tanning salon to have an alibi.
Right.
Then come back, then called and been like, yeah, I don't know what happened. I just found her.
Yeah. And Anna wasn't home that night. She wasn't home for most of that day. So it was perfect timing.
How is she not just wrought with guilt?
I don't know. We'll talk about her in a little bit.
Okay. All right. I'm not satisfied with her. I'm pretty upset at her, to be bluntly honest.
Vicky's OBGYN testified, saying that Vicky had a very normal pregnancy and birth. The only thing that she really remembers happening is Bobby would come into the office with Vicky. And after Vicky would get weighed, Bobby would ask her if that was a normal weight, if she gained too much weight. Everything was about Vicky's weight.
Because he's extremely shallow.
One of Vicky's administrators took the stand. She talked about what a wonderful teacher Vicky was. She was dedicated and involved, and Vicky was passionate and organized. When Bobby would visit Vicky at school, she would get quiet around him, and everybody knew. Everybody noticed. And one day, 10 years into the Lozano marriage, Vicky had come into her administrator's office and said that she and Bobby were separated. And Vicky was scared of Bobby and felt like he intended to do harm to the animals and to her. And when the administrator heard about Vicky's death, she went by the Lozano home to pay her respect. Bobby answered the door. He told her that he didn't know what he would do without Vicky, but then told her that Vicky had left him a note on his steering wheel. The note was never found, and no one else had ever heard of Vicky leaving a note on Bobby's steering wheel.
So he's just putting out fake tidbits.
Yes.
To essentially cast doubt.
Not thinking that this was ever going to be brought to life. Mm-hmm. And she also said that he would bring Vicky lunch and people would be like, oh, your husband's so sweet. But he was bringing her healthy food. And then he was monitoring her while she ate it.
A slice of tomato and dry lettuce, no dressing.
God, I hate this guy. So this guy is just a big fat liar and manipulator. This administrator also talked to Anna. By the way, I know everybody's names. I just don't like to throw people under the bus when they're just doing their due diligence and testifying at somebody's trial.
Yeah.
I just want to throw that out there again. So she had talked to Anna, and Anna told her that the dogs had jumped up on the bed and somehow set off Bobby's pistol, and that Vicky and Bobby had been eating popcorn that afternoon, a few hours before Vicky died. Anna is just regurgitating all the bull crap that Bobby has told her, or she's making up her own stuff now.
Do you know how hard it would be for a gun to go off, even if it was loaded? Not just loaded, but cocked.
No, really hard.
And safety off. And you'd have to be able to get into the trigger, squeeze the trigger, and have the gun go off in a very specific direction.
You can't say you're funny Pacific because people won't.
It's a very specific direction. All from a dog jumping on it. It's not going to happen.
And Vicky would not have been cleaning that gun fully loaded.
Absolutely not.
So that doesn't make any sense.
You could clean, even if you were an idiot, and cleaned a gun loaded. So it had a full magazine in it. You would have to load a bullet into the chamber, then start cleaning it. You would be absolutely out of your mind to do that. You never would. Yeah. And you'd have to have the safety off. And you'd have to do all these things. The statistical probability math of that is not calculable.
This just doesn't make sense to me. And I'm not even a gun expert, but it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. Some people want to believe. So maybe this Anna person is like, oh no, the dogs jumped on it. It's because you're an idiot and you don't know any better. But that's not possible. Well, it's just not possible.
Okay. Well, the defense called their own forensic expert, who was also a bloodstain analyst, I'm not going to get into junk science just yet. But he said that based on his own review of the evidence, he did not see a substantial amount of gun oil on the grip of the gun. It was mostly on the slide. Okay. Well, there shouldn't have been that much. Gun oil.
Who smothers a gun in gun oil? You don't need much.
Vicky could have been wearing the socks, those dirty athletic socks, found lying near the gun cleaning kit because they were stained with something and that could have been oil. So she could have been wearing socks on her hands. What? But those socks were never tested or anything because they didn't really know what they were working with at that time or what they were looking at during that time.
Okay. Here's a point. Quick point. Was this a fairly nice, clean house? Wasn't he OCD about it? Didn't he like everything be clean?
It was. It looked very like you go into Ashley Furniture and you buy everything.
No, that's what I'm getting.
Ashley Furniture. Okay.
But it's clean.
It's clean. It was just baby stuff was around. But no, it was very clean.
There's not a lot of cockroaches crawling all over everything.
No, 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 no.
That's my point. No one's going to clean a gun using gun oil on your adult aerobic bed.
No.
You just won't. It's not a good place to clean a gun.
He would never have allowed her to clean a gun on the bed.
Exactly.
I don't believe.
You would clean a gun on your kitchen counter watching TV.
Bingo.
A flat place where it's easy to clean up. You'd probably put down a big towel that you don't care about, countertop, you have your little gun cleaning kit there, you don't need much gun oil, you do your thing, boom, wipe it down, you're done. You're not going to do it. Eating popcorn, sitting on your bed is totally the last place you'd want to do it.
It's funny that you mentioned that because Anna did say that he would clean their gun or Anna would clean his gun at the kitchen table. But once the baby was born, Anna was like, you cannot clean that out in the open. So then they started cleaning the gun in the bed. So she's just making up stuff.
If the gun is unloaded and any law enforcement officer or even not someone who's just smart, you check the gun. Before you touch it, you check it to make sure there's no bullet. You do that before you hand a gun to somebody. That's gun safety. You check to make sure the gun is clear. Yeah. It's useless without bullets in it. So that I completely reject that.
Okay.
All right, I'm done.
But would Vicky have removed those socks before purposely or accidentally shooting herself? And how do you clean a gun with socks on your hands?
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Vicky's body must have involuntarily moved after she was shot, which allowed the evidence to move around. Maybe her hand brushed the oil can after she was shot. Vicky could have even sat up, is what this guy is saying, which would explain how Bobby found Vicky in a sitting up position, but bent over.
Typically, when I shoot myself, usually sit up afterwards.
It was an involuntary sit-up.
I involuntarily go against gravity and sit up after I'm dead.
Yeah, no. Well, this would explain how Bobby found Vicky and then pushed her back onto the pillow before the paramedics were on the scene.
You know what is a really unstable surface in your house?
A bed.
A bed.
Yeah.
Just to sit up. Okay. If we got hammered drunk.
Oh, geez.
And we were like, let's just sit up on the bed. We probably couldn't do it. We'd fall over because you got all the softness and stuff and things and it's wobbly and everything. So that,
all the blood-stained bedding was brought into the courtroom and draped across a bed that had been erected in that courtroom. After spreading it all out, the defense attorney began pointing out all the dog hair on the blankets.
Okay.
Trying to prove that those dogs must have jumped up there.
Okay.
And then she accidentally shot herself from the dogs.
Do you know what is present in a house when you have dogs?
Dog hair.
Dog hair.
Yeah, we have dog hair all over our bed and our dog's not allowed in the bed.
It's not possible unless you have a dog with mange, meaning they have no hair.
Bobby did not take the stand in his own defense, but guess who did? Anna Farish, Vicky's mom.
Okay, I'm not going to say what I want to say.
The woman who I got the most messages about. I got tons of messages about Anna. Maybe I'll be able to answer your questions, guys. But Anna told the jury that she believed that Vicky had suffered from depression since the age of 10, all because of her weight.
What?
Anna said that Vicky had attempted suicide her senior year of high school because someone had accused her of being on drugs. Vicky refused to go back to school, so she finished her senior year in Arkansas living with her grandparents. This is all the stuff she's saying on the stand. But the prosecutor confronted Anna about her changing her stories. She had told Carrie, which is the prosecuting attorney, that Vicky had attempted suicide after her grandmother died. Well, Anna denied that she had ever said that. No, I didn't say that. They all have it written down. It was part of her statement.
What a despicable creature this woman is.
She told the courtroom that Bobby and Vicky re-met at the University of North Texas. Vicky was impressed with Bobby's body, and the two began working out together. Anna even saying, Vicky was a lonely girl when he came into her life, and she was happy that he cared enough to help her with her weight problem. Vicky was a very lovely woman, and she did not have a weight problem, just so everybody knows.
It sounds like Vicky lived her life in spite of the fact that she did not have a mother, because she had someone that gave birth to her, but this person does not deserve to be called a mother. She doesn't deserve anything. To me, she sounds like a terrible human.
Anna insisted that Vicky was very familiar with guns and that she was a good shot. Her brother had even said that too, Vicky's brother, testifying that she had seen Vicky clean a gun in bed on an occasion, but she had seen a newspaper and gun cleaning kit on the bed many times. Which means Anna's just going into her daughter's marital bed.
That's weird.
Her bedroom on a regular basis.
So she's just wandering around going, oh,
maybe she cleaned it. Gross.
Maybe.
Anna reinforced to the jury the idea of the dogs having jumped on the bed. This is a direct quote. Many times I've been on my bed with a Coke in my hand, and the five dogs have jumped on my bed and bumped me and knocked the Coke out of my hand, and I had to change my sheets.
Why is she drinking a Coke in bed, you moron?
According to Anna, Bobby and Vicky had a wonderful marriage.
Oh, clearly.
Here's another quote. There was the greatest love between them I've ever seen. And then she started sobbing on the stand. Anna said it was Vicky's idea to increase the insurance policy to $1 million. She also testified that she did not tell the investigators to close their investigation and declare her daughter's death an accident. She told them to find out the truth. Well, Anna, you can't handle the truth.
No, she can't.
You know what that's from, right? You can't handle the truth.
I don't remember. I know what it is.
A Few Good Men.
Okay, all right.
Jack Nicholson. Come on. Get with it, sir.
I don't remember movies.
But Anna told the jury that she had been insulted by the investigators and they were not treating her like the mother of someone who had passed.
Goodness.
One investigator in particular, he had asked her a lot of questions as though he were interviewing her. It was incredibly rude.
Her daughter's dead.
I know.
Wouldn't you want to? This woman.
I know. Just wait.
I'm seriously wish the worst on her.
Okay. Well, it was now the state's turn to take a crack at Anna. To say that Anna was hostile towards the prosecutors was an understatement. Anna said that Bobby did not control what Vicky ate, that Vicky would ask him to take the bag of potato chips out of her hand because she could not control how many she put in her mouth. Anna denied some statements that she had made to the investigators. Bobby was never away from home on the weekends or the holidays. Anna now did not know that Bobby had had an affair or affairs, but later told the jury during the redirect that Vicky did have her suspicions about Bobby's cheating ways. Anna said that she had never heard anything about a divorce. So she really contradicted herself up on the stand. You could not believe a word this woman was saying.
Right.
Having said things to investigators and even the prosecutors before the trial even started, and then during the trial telling the courtroom that she had never said these things. When it's written down, there's like proof.
Yep.
There's tapes. There's tape recordings. Anna did admit to letting Bobby and his new wife, girlfriend at the time, move back into her home with her. But I also think she wanted to still have a relationship with the little boy. So if she had gone against Bobby, I don't think she would have been allowed to be in the son's life. You also have to look at it from that. Like, I'm not a big fan of Anna, but I think she was doing what she needed to do to save the relationship that she had with the baby.
Well, it sounds to me like he'd be better off with any other stranger than her as a grandmother. Because anyone who's that toxic in regards to his mother is going to be the last person you'd want to influence. And someone who will entertain continuing a relationship with, well, in my opinion, the obvious murderer of his mother. This poor kid would do so much better with anybody else.
But he was with Bobby this whole time.
I know. And it's easy to be an armchair quarterback.
And I'm sure Anna just wanted to be around her grandson. So she had to look at it from Bobby's point of view and believe Bobby so that she could still be around the little boy. So I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I don't know what I would do in that situation. Well, you know what? I do know. I would have defended my daughter 100%.
Absolutely. I don't get it.
I know. Okay, so let's finish this up. And P.S., the new wife, Renee, had blonde hair like Vicky's before the trial. But during the trial, she had colored it a mousy brown.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because
just throwing that out there for
you. Otherwise, it would have really looked bad.
And Renee was also the woman that Bobby was having an affair with while he was engaged to Cindy. And FYI, Renee was the son's preschool teacher.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He gets around this Bobby. It was clear that Anna was there to defend Bobby and to try to prove to the jury that there was reasonable doubt. On Thursday, July 30th, the defense rested, prompting the state to close. So then the state rested. And the next day were final arguments. The state talked about Bobby's affairs, his written statement, and the $1 million life insurance policy. After Vicky's murder, Bobby cleaned the room, steam cleaned the carpet, and then staged the scene, stopping to go tan for 30 minutes as his perfect alibi. Why would Vicky kill herself, leaving the baby she had waited for 16 years all alone in that house while Bobby was gone?
She wouldn't.
She never would have done that. There's no way would she have done that. The defense said that the state could create a set of facts that made Bobby look guilty. You can think it. You can believe it. You can be clearly convinced that it's true, but you also have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. And it all came back to the shell casing. No document ever said that the shell casing was found under the newspaper, and the shell casing was logged on the evidence sheet above the cleaning kit and newspaper, which proved that the shell was found first. So what he's insinuating is that Bobby was set up by the police department.
Gotcha.
That they had made up finding that shell casing in a fold that would have been under the newspaper and the gun cleaning box.
Hmm.
That's what he's basically saying. But the documentation was wrong. And now there's new protocols put into place that hopefully that will never happen again. It was now suggested in the defense's closing argument that when the paramedic lifted Vicky's body, the shell casing was dislodged from its resting spot and rolled under the newspaper. Or maybe the dogs jumped on the bed and the dogs caused the shell casing to roll under the newspaper.
Hmm.
So this is what they're going with.
Sure.
By 10:30 a.m. on July 31st, the fate of Bobby Lozano now rested in the hands of the jury. And just after lunch, I believe it was only 5 hours, the jury was ready with their verdict.
I would have skipped lunch.
But well, can you got to take that free sandwich.
It's not free. You got to pay for it.
The jury members have to pay for the sandwich?
I believe so.
No, I think it.
Do they I think import you get lunch?
It. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think you get to pick. Uh-huh. I don't know.
They give you a voucher.
Bobby Lozano was found guilty of the murder of Vicky Lozano.
Thank the Lord.
He was sentenced to 45 years in prison a few days later. 45 years.
With or without the possibility of parole?
Bobby has to serve up to half of the 45 years before he will be considered for parole. So he'll be in his late 70s the first time he's able to go up for parole, but because he still has about 8 years left.
Gotcha.
Now, I know we spent a lot of time on Bobby, and I needed you all to hate him as much as I did. But Vicky was a wonderful mom and a teacher and a wife and a human, and she was murdered by her husband, who never believed that she was good enough for him. But she was too good for a man like Bobby. Mm-hmm. She was too good for him. Vicky deserves so much more than what she was ever given. And what she got, even from her family. I looked up where Anna Farish is today, and she's dead. She passed away on July 2nd, 2018, at the ripe old age of 82. Well, I'm going to read some of the messages I found attached to her obituary.
Oh, good. I hope they back up my anger words.
Now, some of them were really nice. Some people said she was a wonderful woman and she was really good at piano and being a piano teacher and things of that nature. But some were angry.
Did they play the Wizard of Oz music after the Wicked Witch was crushed by the house? No. That's when the witch is traveling.
Oh.
It's the basically...
Oh, like did they play that at her funeral?
Thank God the witch is dead.
Oh.
The
oh,
wicked stop. Witch.
All right. Never well, mind. The first one says, denial personified.
Ooh.
These are all attached to her obituary. I know I said that. Never mind. Defended her own daughter's murderer and allowed him to move into her house with his new wife into the same bedroom where he killed her daughter. Sick situation. These flowers are for your daughter, Vicky, who was killed by her estranged husband, Bobby. Because you can attach flowers to the obituary. You defended your daughter's murderer. The flowers are for Vicky. Anna, you were wrong about Bobby. I hope you found peace with your husband and Vicky. And then there's more flowers and it says, for Vicky. And then someone wrote, I hope you, your husband, and daughter are all resting in peace. That was nice. And then another one says, these flowers are for Vicky.
Wow.
People don't forget and people don't forgive.
Yep. Hopefully, eventually, Bobby will go to hell in a handbasket.
Well, he's in prison, so hopefully he's in hell.
That's a big handbasket. I just thought about that. Handbaskets aren't very big.
So, Daniel, what did you think of my case?
Oh, God. Don't just... If anyone runs into a guy like this... Or a girl, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if it goes both ways. Anyway.
It sure could.
Just run.
Don't believe the lies.
Yeah.
Just coming out of their mouth.
If something doesn't seem right, more than likely it's not.
And we live in an age where you can find out your own information. So if you're doubting what somebody is saying to you, you need to look it up. Mm-hmm. You don't need to just go by what they're saying.
You know, we do say that. We always talk about, oh, the good old days. No, now we are absolutely right in the heart of the information age.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's up to you to seek out the information, but you can't say, well, I didn't know any better. Well, you could have found out. And true. Women have intuition, and it's usually right if you're somewhat healthy.
Absolutely.
So follow that, for crying out loud. There are decent guys and gals out there for guys and gals.
Listen to that little inner voice in your head. When it's telling you something doesn't seem right, it probably isn't.
It's interesting that he chose women who have kids.
Especially because he didn't want kids.
Yeah, and I can tell you why. Because he knows they are going to be looking for someone to fill that role. Yeah. And so they're probably angry at whoever they left. So they're going to be looking. They've already opened their mind up to finding someone who isn't whoever it is they just left. Mm-hmm. So all he has to do is fill that blank for them. So he already knows they're manipulative. Or I'm sorry. He already knows he could manipulate that to his advantage.
True.
If you're a person with a couple of kids, divorced, whatever, look out for guys like that, that all of a sudden show up in your life that are like this, because it's not going to be good.
And if it seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Oh, God, yeah. And I get it, though, because now you're kind of in that desperate situation. I don't get it because I'm not there, but I can guess what it would feel like.
It's not desperate. It's just wanting to share.
Yeah, but now you kind of feel alone, but you have kids. And then so it's almost like you're going to want to believe that this new person is the right person.
And that they are exactly who they're telling you that they are. Because they're also around your kids.
If they somehow manage to check all the boxes perfectly, we're not that good. Seriously, guys are not that good. There's going to be, if you're lucky, you'll get 6 out of 10 of the things you want. So if someone comes along and they're a 9 out of 10, something's not right.
They've looked you up online and they know what to say.
Absolutely.
I know people are going to ask me about the sun. And from what I could gather, the son was raised by Renee.
Okay, well, you know what? Good for her. That's cool that she took that role.
I think Renee and Anna, I believe Anna was still in the picture.
I'm still mad at her.
I know. Everybody's mad at Anna, really. But most of us are parents. I mean, this podcast is kind of a little bit of an older generation. So most of us are married and we have older kids. So we think about how we would be if something happened to one of our children. And I don't think I could ever take the side of someone who could have possibly murdered my daughter or my son.
Okay, I'll say one somewhat positive thing about Anna.
Okay, do it.
No matter how hateful she was of her daughter, she was never in a position to have prevented this.
She was not.
Okay, so it's not her fault that this happened. It's just how she reacted to it that I obviously have an issue with, that most people would. It's not like she conspired with Bobby to kill her daughter. If that were the case, okay, yeah, blast her too. But in this case, she's just a crazy old bat. For whatever reason, she was resentful of her daughter. And just could not let it go and always saw the worst in her daughter. I can't imagine why.
And someone asked me if maybe Anna was in love with Bobby or maybe they were having an affair, and that was never mentioned. I couldn't find any information on that. I don't think so. I think Bobby was a smooth talker. I think he knew what to say. I think his lies just came out of his mouth like truth, and she chose to believe him.
Yeah, and Anna,
just like all the other women.
And Anna also wanted to believe.
She did.
So that's
and that she was, wanted to maintain a relationship with her grandson.
Yeah. So he was her fantasy as well.
He was something. All right. Well, my sources for this case was the book Lady Killer. I actually did read a few articles because I was looking up pictures and stuff. I also read the court documents and Bobby's appeal records because, of course, he's going to appeal. And I watched an episode of Accident, Suicide, or Murder, which was recommended by one of our Patreons, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy. That's cool. Actually, you had to buy it. It was $1.99.
How much?
$1.99? Nothing is free anymore.
Oh, Mike, you didn't tell me we spent that kind of money.
Actually, I bought the wrong one. So I bought two episodes. Sorry, honey.
What? How much was that?
$1.99.
Twice?
Yes. I know. I'm an idiot.
We are not rich.
I'm very smart, but I purchased the wrong one. So I will do that one later since I already have the episode. I hope you all enjoyed this two-parter, and I'm really glad to be done with it. I hate Bobby with every ounce of my soul. And I just feel for Vicky, and I feel for their son. And I hope that he's doing okay.
And we would love to share our hatred with the rest of you. And together, it'll make us happy.
Absolutely. And I just feel for Vicky's friends and for her students. Mm. And they really lost somebody amazing. So say a prayer for Vicky tonight, please. Mm-hmm. Be careful.
For marriage is a life sentence.
And divorce is always a better option.
Do that first.
Bye.
Bye.